Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to another episode of Hashtag I Am. And yes, I am. I am Riviera Beach. Hi, my name is Ann McGill, and I'm the master builder, helping to build stronger and better lives and businesses. And I'm excited to be the co-host of this podcast with Mr. Dan Calloway. But after reading the book Acres of Diamonds by Russell Conwell, I'm also thoroughly convinced that we're all leaving our diamond mines in our own backyards as we travel around the world looking for larger diamonds, when in fact the diamonds we seek are found within us and in our own hometown from which we've come. Therefore, we're calling this podcast Hashtag I Am Riviera Beach, Hashtag Riviera Beach Pride. Every podcast, I like to read something from the Riviera Beach Moments, which is a historical collection of people, places, and events from Deborah Hall McCollum. And this week, our reading will come from the section of the Honorable Malcolm Cunningham Sr., attorney, politician. F. Malcolm Cunningham Sr. became the first black person to hold office in the city with white residents since Reconstruction. He first ran for office in 1961 and lost. The Voters League supported him. He ran again and was elected to the Riviera Beach City Council in 1962. And he received 299 white votes, or 18% of the white turnout, significant in a city where just 6 years previously someone had burned a cross outside the black polling place. Cunningham attended Florida A&M University, but had to go to Howard University for his legal training because no Florida law school was open to African Americans. He came to Palm Beach County in 1953 and opened his law office in West Palm Beach. He retired from city office, Riviera Beach Council terms, and continued his law practice. Palm Beach County's Bar Association for African Americans bears his name, and the F. Malcolm Cunningham Park is located on Riviera Beach, Riviera Beach. And that is our historical collection of people, places, and events from the Riviera Beach Moments by Deborah Hall McCollum. But today, we are very excited to introduce you to our special guest, none other than Ms. Annetta Jenkins. She is a seasoned, and I do mean seasoned, community and economic development professional. She has over 30 years of national, statewide, and local experience. She's currently the director of the Neighborhood Services for Riviera Beach CRA and executive director of the Riviera Beach CDC, formerly assistant director for Miami-Dade County Department of Housing and Community Development, and the executive director of South Florida USC. Appointed to the Palm Beach County Housing Summit Steering Committee. She also serves on the Palm Beach County Housing Leadership Council. She's a board member of Florida Community Development Association and Florida Alliance for Community Solutions, Inc. And she's a former longtime board member of the Florida Housing Coalition and was an appointee to the State of Florida Affordable Housing Study Commission. She attended Studies in Economics from Fisk University and her JD from Nova University Center for the Study of Law. She holds numerous certifications and has an executive certificate from Columbia University Graduate Business School, Institute for Nonprofit Management. Annetta also consults in the areas of board development, fundraising, strategic planning, and so much more. And I will take executive privilege to say so much more is the fact that we both sit on the same pew at Mount Olive Baptist Church on Sundays. Good afternoon, Sister Jenkins. How are you? And Mr. Calloway, I'm turning it over to you.
Thank you very much, and welcome, Ms. Jenkins. It is a pleasure here in the Martin Luther King week that we have a young lady who's given so much and asked for so little. I need to ask you two or three questions and maybe a little personal, but I think the listening audience need to know that. This show was built on the thought and the brain thrust of our fierce leader, Ann McNeil, about Riviera, but we talk about things worldwide and mostly in the Palm Beach County and, of course, Riviera. You being from another sector of the state of Florida, I would say that, because I don't know, I know you were big down in South County because of Mr. S. Bruce McDonald, who grew up in West Palm Beach and taught at Roosevelt, and I'm one of his students. He talked so highly about you in other places. Would you just give me a little overview about yourself, where you were reared and where you're from, and how did you get here?
Good afternoon, Miss Ann McNeil, a few hours ago. So what a pleasure. And good afternoon, Mr. Callaway. It is such an honor and a privilege to be able to have a conversation about our community. And yes, I do live in Riviera Beach. I'm a longtime resident here, but I did not grow up here or go to school in this area. I'm originally from a place called Fairfield, Alabama, a suburb of Birmingham, where I grew up with two very involved and loving parents and a very large family with a number of sisters and brothers, and attended high school there, university in Nashville. One of the things I'll point out, just to let you know where Fairfield is one of my classmates and fellow band members is Doug Jones, former graduated together. And it was quite an interesting path. You know, when I moved here after college to Palm Beach County, I originally touched bases in North Florida, working for the Regional Planning Council there for a short time before relocating to South Florida, first in Broward and then Palm Beach County. But I've been in Palm Beach County for a number of years and have spent most of my adult working and professional life living here, but also working throughout South Florida and around the state. My work in Miami-Dade County in that environment, which was quite a little different from Palm Beach, it really called on one to really practice diversity skills, political skills, but also technical skills, because the volume and the scope of community and economic development there is perhaps a little bit more vigorous than here in Palm Beach County. But I'm proud to say that I was a longtime resident of Delray Beach and have been a resident of Riviera Beach for the last 17 years. And I chose to come here because I like the energy and the promise that this community offered.
Beautiful. Beautiful, and we will live up to that promise. But I need to say something about your hometown, Fairfield, Alabama. If I remember correct, when I was a baseball player in the Negro League and then signed with Pittsburgh right out of school, the first black from this area in 1956, my hero at the time being was Willie Mays. And
yep.
A part of his background that he was a resident. His family was from Fairfield. Is that where
yeah.
the same thing with the great Willie Mays, the center fielder for the New York Giants and then the San Francisco Giants?
Yes, you're exactly right. Willie Mays is a favorite son from Fairfield. And if you may recall also another person who was famous nationally was Lucius Pitts, who for a time was president of Miles College, which has just grown by leaps and bounds in Fairfield, but you're exactly right. Fairfield, Alabama, it's a steel town. You know, my father worked for a number of steel mills there in Fairfield.
Well, that's beautiful. Well, let me say this here. You being a part of the CRA, and I think there's no doubt in my mind that is on the top shelf of any city, the redevelopment, the building, and then the, your background of traveling. What do you see right now for this year and the next 10 years coming up that you all are working on? Is it more affordable housing? Is it shelter? Is it going to be something in blighted areas where we going to do something to put business, entice business, like we need on, Broadway, when we don't have a restaurant, a local restaurant like we had years and years ago? We have to go outside unless we go over on Singers Island. Very few, and of course down at the marina, we have the Tiki Bar. But we were gifted with a lot of restaurants and fast food places on Broadway. Is there anything in the work, and even on the west side of the track, that we're going to have something like a, a Golden Corral, some kind of place that I can take all these seniors in there and pay $8 to $9 and you can eat all they can because of their budget and because the budget of the youth recreation can only handle so many? Is anything like that coming up?
To Callaway, and let me just start off for your listening public to just say that the strategic vision for the city could be summarized under the umbrella of reimagine Riviera Beach. Riviera Beach has a long history and a permanent place here in Palm Beach County in terms of activity in the business sector, the schools, the famous people who came out of Riviera Beach, or the Raw, as some of the people call it. And we're continuing that at the CRA. I think what you have witnessed is an acute focus on what can we do to capture. We're in some turbulent economic times in the country, in the state, in the county. We know that housing prices have gone to the roof, where rental housing, let alone home ownership, is almost out of reach for most. They don't already have an opportunity. We know that our town, our city, is one of the last really undeveloped waterfront fronts along the eastern coast in Florida. And this is a great opportunity for us to be able to capture those diamonds in the sand, as Ms. McNeil was talking about, to be able to mine them, to be able to make sure that people who lived here all their lives, their children have lived here, grandparents are from here, that we don't miss the opportunity to connect our residents to what we know is inevitable. So, yes, there are some key projects that are planned within the CRA, projects that are in the works already outside the CRA within the city. I'm sitting here looking at my laptop, and I would encourage your listeners, the first thing I would encourage anyone to do is to go to the City Riviera Beach website, www.riverabeach, sign up, and be able to receive information, to be able to get the newsletter for the city, to be able to hear about procurement opportunities, job opportunities firsthand. Go to the city's website and sign up for that. I would encourage people to also sign up at the CRA's website, www.rbcra.com, to do the same thing, so that capable of learning about opportunities in real time. There are two solicitations on the street that have been released. One is for a new mixed-use residential and commercial development at 2600 Broadway. That is the location of the old Seacoast and then BB&T Bank. If you've not driven by there recently, you'll see that the building has been razed, the site is, and the RFP has hit the street. So we know that we will receive world-class proposals for a new Keystone signature mixed-use commercial opportunity. And we are very interested in not only having great developer teams, but also making sure that our local small business people, local contractors receive and participate in the opportunity as well. So I would encourage people to go check that out. There's also an RFP on the street for a public-private partnership. You may have heard the term P3 development for a new municipal complex on Broadway, the Blue Heron. There is a sign on the site teasing what is to come, teasing about the vision for the new municipal complex. And you already know that the old library has been demolished. There's green space in its place. And as we have discussed in a number of public meetings, there is the intent to demolish the city hall, the police department, the fire department, et cetera, and make that site available for redevelopment as well as a part of the land across the street at Wells eventually. So that's a major P3 development opportunity that has been out for quite time, and we expect to see proposals come in shortly for that as well. We've also continued to work through being very diligent, very, very diligent with phase two of the marina, which will eventually have residential. It will eventually have stores, restaurants, et cetera, and mixed-use environment, as well as some entertainment right at our waterfront to join the beautiful event center and the restaurant that is already present there. We have a beautiful park there, Bicentennial Park, and we're just very, very excited about what will come, and hopefully we'll have an answer to which direction we're moving in on that site as well. Say on that, Mr. Calloway and Ms. McNeil, is that we are very definitely working on affordable housing opportunities. On Broadway, just north of Blue Heron, you'll see construction for the Berkeley Landing site, where there will be 112 residential rental homes as well as two live-work lots. In the last couple of years, we've seen the Riviera Cove townhouse development be completed right on Broadway. We're working with the Sound Care organization for a world-class federal medical clinic and incubator space where there'll be some small business opportunities, hopefully including a small restaurant up near the McDonald's on Broadway. So just on Broadway alone, there is quite a bit of activity. Just the other night, the Planning and Zoning Committee approved a site for Villa La Arms, a new 12-unit for-sale workforce and affordable housing townhouse project. So quite a bit of activity that is planned, that's coming, and there's already a shovel in the ground on a number of sites. So I'll stop there.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is wonderful, and that's really educational. But I need to ask you and tell you where I am and what's the youth recreation been invited to be in charge of by Dr. Botel, one of our commissioners, and Doug Lawson, one of our commissioners. Martin Fenson, of the company that built the fence, they have asked us to get as many young people who want a job. They're going to start them off at $20 an hour the moment they sign up and go through a training period to learn how to build and install fences around in this city, in the county, and wherever. But most of all, I will be in a meeting this Wednesday at 12 o'clock at Cheney Brothers. The young man, and I can't think of his name, but of course Byron has already signed off on it, one of the brothers, that they need CDL drivers. That's those long-distance drivers, driving all the trucks from a lot of their plants and everywhere. And they will start them off at $75,000 a year. Well, I know that most people don't have CDLs, but they can get them, and I do know that. And I got both guys already said for that type of money, they got a CDL, and that's steady work because of, you know, Cheney Brothers have got companies not only here, but right above us up in Port St. Lucie and over in Fort Myers and over in Tampa and other places. Is it anything under the auspices of the CRA that is available to help out getting these kids from the local schools? Our high school is Inlet Grove, Suncoast, Palm Beach Garden, Dwyer, and Palm Beach Lakes. All those schools, forget about Carter Newman and Benjamin, but all those schools, the kids are bused, are housed on those campuses. Is anything that, just say, I'm going to quote what Dr. Botel was saying, we need to have a place to train people, and she's been trying to work on that, and I'm quite sure Ann has been a part of that, like Arizona Sapo, train them in their field. But we need to have something for every field, with electricity, air conditioning, especially air conditioning like that, because one thing is, this is the, well, we need the heat right now, but the air conditioning is putting there 11 months a year. You need that, because we are in a heat environment. Is it anything in the CRA that I could come and sit down with Artie and another person, because Doug Lawson said he wanted to get be a part of that anytime we go, because we're going down to be with Bedenia Baker, the manager of the Palm Beach County, representing the county commissioners. And she's doing a wonderful job, because we got to go and do a lot of things with people losing their houses and need jobs. And some people need a job, but they don't want a job. They want to go and hustle. But if we offer this and have people teaching them how to do this and fight for higher pay salaries or starting salaries, but very few people are going to start off at $20 an hour. They won't make it a national thing to get 15 or 16, but to give you $20 an hour, and then get a job after you, they're going to train you through a school to be a CDL driver. And that's that long distance driver and when you driving license. When you get that, you may even go to the bus company and get a job if you've got that type of license. But my thing is to you of the CRA, because there's a lot of kids that I know living in the CRA district that we are trying to entice and to learn a trade. When you gave your background in education, I bet you it was about five different schools or more that you went. And therefore, you are capable of sitting anywhere and hold your own. The same is by Phil Salida and McNeil. She's gone through all that. So I know that my emphasis this year and from here on in, we're going to be putting kids in all kind of tutorial programs. And we are being interviewed by the provost at FAU to give me two scholarships so I can bring two kids from Fort Myers. They lost everything. But one thing they didn't lose, they didn't lose hope. And if I can do anything to enhance a person's hope where they can feel good about themselves and get a job in the things that you were talking about on with all the new development and businesses coming up, that should give a lot of local people jobs. And I think that we got to put more emphasis on that. And I need to hear your opinion, how you feel about what I just said and for what you were saying about all this other stuff that's coming, the library and the police station and every kind of business coming on Broadway. And then how do we get in the middle of that and get more people involved for the in the labor process?
So very, very exciting to hear, Mr. Calloway, and thank you for sharing that. I will tell you what the CRA is doing and what we have the ability to do. Unfortunately, we don't have empty buildings or space that we could offer for a training ground. I do know that there is a program that's held out at North Tech in our city, but it is so attractive that almost as soon as they open registration, the classes are filled for the year. And I know that because I've tried to connect some residents to those classes. I do believe our city, and I don't want to mention which company, but our city worked out a partnership where residents could receive training for CDLs. And I'll have to get back to you on that in terms of the facility, the location, et cetera, within the city. Our public works building has a training room that I think has been used with Commissioner Botel in Palm Beach State for training certification classes in several areas for the last few years. We do use our clean and safe office as a mini community center and training room. We do, and this is pre-COVID, but things are opening up just a little bit, where over at the Clean and Safe Ambassador Center, several neighborhood associations will have their monthly meetings there, other nonprofits. But we have used that space, homebuyer education program, as well as our business certification program. And that space is available for a classroom-type setting or maybe 40 or 50 people at a time. Part of my program goals for this year is to produce several job fairs. We've had several job fairs in the past, and I'd love to talk with you and work with you on that. I know Commissioner Lawson has been a big proponent of this, and I have it in my budget to produce several of those, and they could be targeted for certain industries, for small business and for certain job sectors. And we partnered with CareerSource, Whip County and others, the school board and others, thing that we definitely could talk about because it's already in the plan for this year. I'd also like to put on the table that our library out on Congress, which is a beautiful facility, has several meeting rooms and there is a training room. And if you have not checked out the robust program activity at the library, I would encourage anyone who's listening to do so. There are youth-oriented programming through the Youth Empowerment Program as well as with the library itself. And there are GED classes, there are computer classes, there are cooking classes, all sorts of training opportunities that's already on the schedule. And the director out there, Mr. Brody's team and his excellent team, are always open for new programming that is suitable for that space. So that's another space that, you know, could be made available for something, you know, maybe not to drive trucks, big 18-wheelers, but certainly for classroom settings, for meetings, et cetera, for different parts of the program.
Well, I really appreciate that, but I know I need to ask you this. As soon as you can put me on the docket and Audia be there with me, and whether actually Doug Lawson said anytime I need him, he's available. But I need to sit down with you and your staff and tell you what we are trying to do. I gave my word to the your director and the city manager all in one when we met a couple of months ago. And we will be having another meeting soon. But it won't be about the CRA as much as about me and the city. And I need to have our meeting with you and your staff where you want us to be. And the reason why I said that, we have given our word that we're going to do more this year to help to minimize the crime because there's too many people. We have a shirt. And about 3 or 4 months ago, I promised the acting police chief, Chief Lewis, that what we're going to do is set up different programs where we'll be, this community is working hard with the law enforcement personality. And, of course, I retired from the Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office. I know a little about law enforcement. If we don't get the John Q. Public, the citizenry, to be the eyes and ears and see something and say something to help the local law enforcement, we always going to lose. Because this is why we said, and Ann McNeil, our fierce leader, was the keynote speaker on the 15th of December when we said 300 at Wells at 12 o'clock. And her message was well received. They were asking when the Q&A about all kind of things, about working and how we can get certified here. And everybody now, with the movement, except 10 to 11% who they don't want to work, but we're going to offer the people who are out here hustling, stealing, shooting, killing, to get a job, and we're going to train them. That's why Cheney Brothers are stepping up to, we don't need the CDL for the ones we're getting for Cheney Brothers because they got the class for that. They're handling that. But we need the CDL for other people who not going to be in line to worry about going to Cheney Brothers to go other places on them long distance driving and whatever because they pay well. Now, if you can do that, that'll help out. But I need the public and you to know that if we don't help out with the law enforcement department, if the community leaders, the elected officials, they can only do so much. They can only be so many places at one time. And that's only one place at one time. We got to be the voice to give them information where they can make the correction and do better because now they know better. And I don't know a better place to sit down and talk is in front of you. I have to be honest. Because every time I've been there, I walked away with something I didn't know. I've learned a few things already. But at 84 years of age, I don't have the ability to run up and down like I did. The Youth Recreation been in existence just passed their 59th year. January 8th, made 59 years ago when Herman McCray, Don Wilson, Clark Martin, and Johnny Carlisle stood and walked into Goodmark Park before I drew the design for Wells and the Callaway Complex. And therefore, we put together a program that have lasted for 59 years, and we got to keep on because there's too many components in our community that we are not doing well in, and that is getting people off the street, obeying the law, and get and do an honest day's work. And that's where we're going to set that up because my next thing in the next 2 weeks, I'll be talking after I talk to the city manager. And if I get a chance to talk to you, I can tell our tutorial program. It is important to go over the, like, I don't know the name, Azua or whatever, but it used to be Stony Brook. We need to go over there. They working on the kids now. They got a tutorial program in there. Dr. Botel was in a meeting the other day with me and telling me how she was glad because years ago when the new chief, the chief was just left here, we were having a cookout over there. And I suggested with him and her, we need to have a place here where we can work with the dropouts and the kids after school for they can make sure they keep their grades up because we were in the pandemic. And so, therefore, we had to figure a way out. But now it's a beautiful place in there for that. So I need to talk to you, and you can give the youth recreations some lead ways, what we can do, what we can expect, and who can help. And we'll get it done. Now, how do you feel about that?
Well, from what you know about me, you know I'm all about partnerships and collaboration and trying to help and connect residents to resources. So when I get off this call, I'll send an email to myself and to Mr. Williams to get several dates for next week that we could sit down and we could meet and we could talk. And I could better share coming and give you a little bit more detail and let you know what the opportunities are maybe to connect with some of that. So I'd be happy to do that.
I appreciate that. That's lovely. See, I think that sometimes people get involved in things, they got all the answers. And I've learned for a long time because I was always a coach. I was always an athletic director. And then I spent my time in the Army and in the position the government had me over and teaching this and being a demonstrator. But most of all, at 84 years of age, I still enjoy working with little black girls and little black boys. I don't make no bones about that because somebody helped me. They reached out to those four Callaway boys, and I'm the baby of the four Callaway boys, and gave us a helping hand. Because my mother and father couldn't take care of five kids back there in the 30s. We were all born in the 30s, but my sister, and she was born in 40. She doesn't like for me to tell her age, but she's 82. She'll be 83 her birthday. The thing about that is all those black teachers I had, I didn't go to a mixed integrated school. I went to all from the time I started school and the time I graduated until I went off to school after that. I've never been in a class with whites. And nothing against the whites because I've learned a lot dealing with white people. They're some of my closest friends. But my black teachers was just like sir good parents, and I'll never forget none of them. And everything I can do, I only have one. Mr. McDonald is the only one living. After Ms. Hutnell died, she was the last before Mr. McDonald, who's now alive, but he's 10 years older than me. So, but the point is, one of the things we're going to do, and I will talk to you as soon as we get that meeting, where you can give us a guideline or a door, a corridor, and say, go down there and you can do this and get help. Because it's automatically, you can't put on no program without you having some kind of money to help sustain it. And the reason why I brought that up, spring break going to be right around the corner, and I need you to be massaging that right now. We're going to take 15 girls and 15 boys and take five chaperones for each one of them. That's 20. 5 on 15 is 20. That'll be 20 for the girls and 20 for the boys. We're going to go down, it's in the, I think it's the 16th of April. I don't know his audio on the line, but if he's on the line, he could tell you right now. We're going to take them to the Miami Heat game when they're playing the New York Knickerbockers. And it's not so much about a game, just like we did on the 27th of November. We took 50 kids and 5 chaperones to the Miami Dolphins game when they played the Houston Texans. It's about looking at enterprise to get their mind higher. We don't want the people say, the kids say, well, I want to learn how to play on the Dolphins. I told them, I don't need you to be on the Dolphins. I need you to try to get up where you can own the Dolphins team. You can be the owner. Think Hi, think big. See, being a player, I can coach you how to be a player, but I can't coach you how to make enough money to be the owner of a professional team or your own business. That's what we got to teach the kids. Just learn how to have their own business, and they got to have the ground, the fundamentals of what you have to do, and that's getting a good education. You just can't think that you can come up and do what we might have got away in the early 50s and the late 40s and then in the early 60s. No, you got to be prepared, just like you read off on your resume that you've been through 5 to 6 different schools. And that's why you right now running the CRA. I'm glad that you're here, and I'm glad that you're going to give us an opportunity to sit down and listen at our insight and our next step where we're going to make it better for the people in the community. And that's how I'll leave it there. And Artie?
Well, just let me just say this, Mr. Calloway, just to let her know the dates. That we're planning on taking the kids to the Heat game. That's March 22nd. It's on a Wednesday during their spring break time.
Oh, it's in March and not April. Oh, so that's when spring break is March?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, do you have anything to say? Okay.
Yeah, I just had to come off mute. Yeah, thank you. I had to come off mute. My apologies. Yeah, just go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, I just wanted to, I just wanted to say to Ms. Jenkins, I'm like Mr. Calloway, I learned a lot listening to all of the different opportunities as a result of the city and the CRA in terms of development. And it's just like what we talked about in the beginning of the podcast before we went on air. You know, just like we're building out the land, we want to also build out the lives who are from the city. And so this is a very exciting time. And just like you was referencing what I shared about Russell Conwell in his book, Acres of Diamonds. And I think so many of us, especially those of us that left the city who are watching from a distance, realize that there's no place like home. And so we want to thank you for sharing your insights and the vision of the city as we all reimagine the city of Revere Beach. And what we'd like to do now is ask you if you have any, you know, closing comments before we start wrapping up the podcast. But we want to definitely thank you for sharing today.
I'd just like to say thank you on behalf of my executive director, Mr. Jonathan Evans, and my fellow director of planning and development, Mr. Scott Evans, who's serving as our interim executive director right now. Myself and our staff, we work as a team, and we're just very excited about the opportunity. When I talk about all that's going on in Revere Beach, and I'm very passionate about it and very vocal, I tell people that Revere Beach is the place to be, city to live, work, and play. I believe that. I work at it every day. And as I said at the beginning of the podcast, I live here. This is my community. This is my neighborhood. This is my city. We're so excited. There's a lot that is coming at us. We think that we are well suited to handle the development pressures. We're trying to bring everything we have to bear to make sure that at the end of the day that we're successful in reimagining Revere Beach. So I want to thank you, Mr. Calloway, and thank you, Ms. McNeil, for what you're doing and for the opportunity to share with our community, for those who may not know all that's going on. It's all that and more. So let's all dig deep, roll up our sleeves, and we're going to make this dream come true.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bless you.
Mr. Calloway, you have another comment. Mr. Calloway,
my last comment is, and I'm so proud of Ann because she thought of this program. I didn't come up with this. I come up with a lot of things because of being an innovator and because I was taught by the great people, my mother and father, and then the minister, Reverend Dolphus. I believe in community, and I believe in loving where you live. The situation we in now, we are taking back steps because of so many things is out of our hand. the economy. And we got a program right now, Ms. Jenkins, that every month, starting this month, we're giving two people over 75 years of age, and I have to always bring this up. They either cut lawns, they either cat it on the golf course, or took care of wealthy people's houses, cleaning their toilets and doing everything, and going out to the glades and picking the beans, the corns, the tomatoes, and all that stuff that they don't have to do as much because they got machines now. They don't have a pension. I'm one of those people who are blessed, who retired from the sheriff's office. I get a check from Social Security and the Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office every month. But what about the people ailing and can't get around? We must look out for the least, the lost, and the left out. And one thing I know, God's going to bless us. So that's one of the things that you may have some insight that we can make appearance and talk to people to sponsor a kid, not a kid, a grandparent, or maybe no parent at all, but they're 80 years of age. We got to help them out. That's where we're going to be judged on our final day. What you do, what did you do for your fellow man? And that's my final remark.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Artie. And Deja, thank you, everybody. We want to just remind those of you that may have been listening late, came on late to the podcast. We're just interviewing our special guest, Ms. Annetta Jenkins, director of the CRA for Riviera Beach. And want to thank everybody for listening in. We'll see everybody next week, same place, same time. Hashtag I am Riviera Beach. Thank you, everybody. Have a great day. Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.